Welcome back, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you are tuned into the Asia-Pacific Perspective, that once-a-month program with Brock West of APPerspective.net, where we go over all of the news that's making headlines around the Asia-Pacific region specifically. Once again, I will direct you all to the Asia-Pacific Perspective blog at APPerspective.net so you can keep in touch with all the latest headlines. Brock, thank you again for your time. It's good to have you here.
It's always a pleasure, James. It's as we're just speaking there, it's freezing here and then just starting to heat up in Japan there. So looking forward to getting into it. And as tempting as it may be, and as the news has been kind of swarming with the NSA Edward Snowden stories this week, we're going to not do that this time. And as you've already done a lot of great work, and you know, there's a lot of great stories and articles coming out about this scandal. So I hope people are paying attention, you know, because the NSA story is really developing almost by the hour now. But we're going to keep it food-related and Fukushima-related this time.
All right. Well, let's get straight into it then. What do you got up first?
First, we've got a story coming from a website that, of course, I'm sure all your listeners need no introduction to. That is, of course, globalresearch.ca. The headline reads, GMO eggplant found to be unsafe for human consumption and the environment. Field trials of GM BT eggplant, also known as BT Talong, have officially ceased in the Philippines following a major ruling by the nation's Court of Appeals, representing a massive victory for food sovereignty. The court found that BT Talong is a monumental threat to both environmental and human health, and has subsequently ordered that all existing plantings of BT Talong in test fields be immediately destroyed and blocked from further propagation. Like in many other nations across the globe, the biotech industry has been craftily trying to sneak in genetic poisons into the Philippines under the guise of improving crop yields, reducing chemical use, yada, 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 ad nauseum. All the typical industry propaganda and lies used to convince the more gullible among us that GMOs are some kind of food production miracle. But the Philippines is not buying all the hype, and unlike the US, the Southeast Asian country is taking a bold stand against a technology that has never been proven safe or beneficial in any way. According to the non-profit advocacy group Greenpeace, which has been working hard on behalf of humanity to stem the tide of GMO onslaught from around the world, the court recently issued a right of kalakasan, which basically means that all field trials of the BT eggplant in the Philippines must stop. The court also ordered that the biotechnology aggressors permanently cease and desist from conducting further trials, as well as protect, preserve, and rehabilitate and restore all the land they have destroyed in the process. James, I think it's we have to celebrate every little victory that comes along, and I really want to give credit where credit's due to the people at Greenpeace and also to the Philippine Court of Appeals to draw a line in the sand here and, you know, make a solid stand against these GMO monstrosities that, you know, have, you know, seeped their way into almost every corner of the globe now. So it's really great to see that you know, Southeast Asian countries, which are so dependent on you know, good quality agriculture, are making a stand against, you know, this GMO crap, to be honest.
Absolutely. No, this is a positive story, so let's celebrate it. And it is interesting to note, like so many other issues, like fluoride in the water and other things, there can be the kind of localism that people get into whereby they see what's happening in their own community and they think that that's just normal. Whereas if you look around the globe, there are a lot of countries that reject GMO foods and have not allowed either the trials to go ahead or have barred importation altogether of GMO products. One of them being, of course, here in Japan, where recently, as you noted on AP Perspective, Japan canceled a tender to purchase U.S. GMO wheat, well, U.S. wheat, because of GMO contamination. So for people who weren't following that story, I'll direct them over to AP Perspective, where you were covering this. But basically, there was a field in Oregon that was contaminated with GMO wheat that was being tested, but was not actually approved for human consumption. Somehow or other, it ended up getting grown and was discovered in the food supply, or the wheat that was intended for the food supply. It led to Japan canceling their tender. Ultimately, I think Korea and Taiwan both ended up canceling their orders as well. So this has had a pretty huge effect already on the Oregon wheat farmers. And looks like this is continuing to go ahead. And the latest I saw on this is that now Monsanto is putting their hands in the air and screaming, well, how could this ever have happened? We don't know. We think it's sabotage. Someone is trying to sabotage to make us look bad. Take that for what it's worth, which is absolutely nothing. But at any rate, again, it goes to show that there are countries all around the world that reject GMOs completely and outright. So it is not normal for this to be happening. And for people who are in countries where this is allowed, you need to be doing whatever you can to try to get rid of this contamination.
That's right. As you've pointed out many, many times, and as I've said many, many times as well, it does start with you. It does start with your family and the local level, and then it expands. And then it goes to the local authorities and to the federal authorities. You know, if you do make a positive and consistent and vigilant stand against these kind of massive biotech and multinational corporations, you know, eventually they're going to be forced into a corner, and that's where the real power that we have lies. James, although we have had a couple of good stories there, we're going to flip the coin a little bit and turn our attention back to Fukushima, and more importantly, Fukushima rice that has been growing right now. And we're taking this from your own FukushimaUpdate.com, and this comes from the brilliant blog, which I regularly source a lot of my articles from, XSKF, and the title reads, Eat and Support, Fukushima Rice Without Knowing and Without Choice. From rice to be grown and harvested in 2013, the national government in Japan is buying up 250,000 tonnes for the government's rice reserve. Of that, 40,000 tonnes, or 16%, may come from the Fukushima prefecture. The Fukushima prefectural government is encouraging farmers to participate in the government bidding if they fear baseless rumours driving down the price for their rice in the open market. However, once it is purchased by the national government, Fukushima rice then magically becomes just plain old rice. The reserve will then be released in the markets a few years later as the need arises as part of the regular inventory control. So we can just see there, James, you know, on one hand you've got Japan saying no to GMO wheat from Monsanto and from Oregon, but also then, you know, this kind of dangerous, potentially harmful rice being, funneled into the Japan's reserve rice supply.
Absolutely. Well, this is particularly disturbing because, of course, I'm making every effort to know exactly where the rice that myself and my family are eating is coming from. But when it gets into the reserve supply, this is released out into the general rice population after a few years, should there be a rice shortage, etc. And it ends up just becoming rice, and you have no idea where it comes from. So this is exceptionally disturbing for all the people in Japan. It should be, at any rate. People should be furious about this. I haven't seen a lot of protests specifically about this issue, but it's one of the ones that hits pretty close to home.
Yeah, and I mean, also, you know, Japanese rice is exported throughout the world too, so it doesn't just affect, you know, people like yourself there in Japan. This has, you know, greater implications worldwide. James, we're going to kind of do a quick kind of wrap-up of the recent developments that have been happening at the Fukushima Daiichi plant, and then we're going to tie that into what's been going on politically in Japan. We'll take the first story here. Once again, all of these are from FukushimaUpdate.com. This comes from the Star, thestar.com. Japan finds highly toxic strontium in Fukushima groundwater. High levels of toxic strontium-90 have been found in the groundwater at the devastated Fukushima nuclear power plant. Strontium-90 is a byproduct of the fission and uranium and plutonium in the nuclear reactors as well as nuclear weapons, according to the website of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. It was not immediately clear how much of a setback the discovery would be for efforts by TEPCO to clean up the plant, which was devastated by the earthquake and tsunami 2 years ago. And we'll move on to another leak found just today, James. This is posted by NHK World. Leak found at Fukushima Daiichi desalting device. TEPCO says radiation-contaminated water was found to have leaked from a desalinating device at the crippled Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. The plant operator adds that the leak stopped, however, when the device was halted. The company estimates that about 200 to 350 litres have leaked out. Radioactive cesium was already removed from the water at a different unit, but the water still continues to contain radioactive strontium and other substances. Moving on again, James. Government secretly backtracks on Fukushima decontamination goal. This comes from the Asahi Shimbun on June 16. With the government facing difficulty in finding disposal sites, municipalities in Fukushima are being unofficially notified that the goal for completion of radioactive decontamination work in March 2014 may not be met. The government also informed municipalities that it will not allow decontamination work to be redone in areas where radiation levels have not declined even after decontamination efforts have been completed. So we can see there, James, that you know this is still a very important and ongoing crisis here. And while this is going on, you think that you know it would be priority number one for the Japanese government and Shinzo Abe to you know get this under control as much as possible and to reassure. But unfortunately, what he's doing is globetrotting over into Europe, promoting Japanese nuclear exports. And this story comes from ChannelNewsAsia.com. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe made a push on Sunday for his country's nuclear technologies at a summit in Warsaw with leaders of four ex-communist European Union countries as part of his bid to boost the Asian powerhouse's exports. Abe recently unveiled plans to treble Japan's infrastructure exports to $30 trillion a year, a target that could not be reached without nuclear reactors. At Japan's first summit with the so-called Visegrad Group, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland and Slovakia, Abe sought to interest the four countries in Japanese nuclear technology. So, James, I mean, this seems a really kind of sneaky and backdoor way to kind of force Japan's hand to restart and, you know, reboot all these nuclear reactors that have been offline since the accident 2 years ago. I mean, how much is it related to not only the Japanese nuclear industry, but also the well-known Abenomics or, you know, the struggling Japanese economy at the moment?
Well, I think this is fundamentally about the economy, and that's just further signs, as if any were needed, that Shinzo Abe is just another globalist, fascist, corporatist insider, and just part of the same big old web that that unfortunately is all too common in all of the other countries that people might be watching us in. So this is really not surprising. It shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone because he has been pro-nuclear since the beginning. And this is definitely about the economics of it, not only trying to increase exports, but as you say, of course, spur the bringing back online of the other nuclear reactors here, 50 of the 52 that have been shut down for maintenance. So, and we've just saw, for example, in May, the trade deficit, which has ballooned up since Fukushima and since the importation of all this energy became necessary, the trade deficit has just hit its third highest figure ever in Japan. So this is... I mean, it's just part of the ongoing complete economic collapse that's happening here in Japan that's being propped up by more and more ridiculous means, as we saw the basically global stock markets plunging in the wake of the FOMC meeting this past Wednesday, but the Nikkei, for some reason, spiked up 800 points. Absolute manipulation going on in the markets here, and it is just total fantasy land, and I really do shudder to think what's going to happen when the plug is pulled. So I hope people are keeping their eye on the Japanese economic situation, because that plays in not only to the worldwide economic situation, but also to things like the nuclear exports and things of that nature. Just a side note that's interesting to put out there, Japan Today had an article just last week saying that Shinzo Abe's wife says she is anti-nuclear. And basically giving some of her rhetoric about how Japan should be without nuclear power and they should find renewable ways to do it. I think the key in that headline is probably says. I'm not sure how honest this really is, but it probably sounds good and plays well with the electorate. So I'm not sure if I really buy it. But at any rate, it's interesting to see that they at least have to pander to the anti-nuclear position, because it is, I think, the default position for most Japanese citizens.
That's exactly right. I think that also another story that I came across also was that one of Prime Minister Abe's confidants has kind of done a secret backdoor meeting with Chinese officials, trying to kind of reconnect the ties that have been so strained recently, obviously with the territorial disputes that are going, that are still going on, and obviously also with the North Korea nuclear issue as well. So I don't know. I'll just say this, I would be very surprised if you and I are both sitting here at this time in 2014 and Abe is Prime Minister still, as the Japanese political system tends to go that way, unfortunately.
Well, maybe fortunately, if they keep them rotating out, maybe that's a good thing, so that there's no one puppet in place for too long. But at any rate, yeah, it does make for a moving target. Well, we will definitely be keeping our eye on that and many other things. Anything else you'd like to bring to viewer and listeners' attention?
Yes, actually, I have been, as of last month, I have been involved in another two monthly interview series. The first one is with Leon Pittard of FedEcomRadio.com, a fellow Aussie. We basically do a half an hour interview where we go over not only Australian issues, but also the wider Asia-Pacific region, of course, and also have been started up doing a monthly interview series with Hanul and Mike from The Last Defense, which is also a great blog. You've obviously had all of these guys on your podcast and radio show in the past, so it's great to be doing that with them, and so people can look forward to more original content coming out of APPerspective.net, which I'm very excited to be doing.
Well, that is awesome. That is good that that you're helping to spread this word even further, so that's great, and I hope people will tune into that. Also, I'd like to give my thanks to you for helping out with FukushimaUpdate.com, as you're now helping to post on that site, so it is being updated a lot more frequently now. I hope people are still going there. And it is being tweeted out through your AP Perspective Twitter account, so I hope people will follow you on Twitter as well so they can get all the latest Fukushima updates.
That's right. You can follow me at AP_Perspective. And if you wish to get in contact with me personally, I have a new email account at brockwest@hushmail.com.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. Brock, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
No worries, James. Talk to you soon.